Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with our producer, Rosemary Brandt. Rose and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Monday, September the 15th, 2014. Hope you had a great weekend. We are getting ready, Rose, for a very wet week, thanks to Hurricane Odile, I think it's pronounced that way. However it's pronounced, it did hammer the resort town of Cabo San Lucas. Cabo, of course, the resort town on the tip of Baja. Unofficial rain totals, according to Weather Underground, which is kind of a weather site for a lot of weather bloggers. Unofficial rainfall total, 2 feet in some areas of Cabo, with 100 wind gusts up to 120 miles an hour. The hotel industry, which is the mainstay down there, it's a beautiful area, was completely hit. Several hotels, lots of damage. So as you might expect, when the strongest hurricane to really hit Cabo since they began the whole modern weather technology with satellites just slammed into Cabo, and that we'll be getting the remnants here in the southwest later in the week from the hurricane. So it should be an interesting week. We are live each weekday, noon to 1 on Tucson's AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Podcasts are available along with our complete show archive. So you can go to my website, buckmastershow.com. You can hear any of the work we have done over the last pushing toward 4 years already with this radio show. The Monday political face-off today, our team of commentators, John Munger and Vince Robigo, will continue then at 12:30 with our candidate series. Between now and Election Day, we're going to hear from dozens of candidates for state and federal office. Today, we're spotlighting Dr. David Garcia. Dr. Garcia is a Democrat for Arizona Superintendent of Public Instruction. We'll close out the show with Dr. Mark Sykes. He testified to the Committee on Space back in Washington last week. He is the head of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute. So we've got a full show as usual. Our live line number 790-2040, and our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. John Munger is with us. John, attorney and former chair of the Arizona Board of Regents, 2010 Republican candidate for Arizona governor, and attorney Vince Robigo, also with us, longtime Democrat Party activist here locally, and former Arizona Attorney General candidate. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery. Thank you, Moe, and your family for supporting our show. Moe has run that, and the family have run the gallery since 1985. They take care of really all of your custom frame mirror needs, art for the walls, picture framing, hanging services, and hanging systems. Folks, they do it all over there if it's anything to do with framing. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Vince and John, that hurricane is pretty scary, I'll tell you.
Well, it's scary for them. It's going to be wonderful rain for us.
Yeah, we do need it.
That's a silver lining, and we may get a couple inches of rain. That would be good. I wouldn't wish that on Cabo.
No.
But if it's going to happen, hopefully it'll come through this way.
Yeah, I hope not too much damage is done.
Oh, that weather blogger on Weather Underground, he weathered this thing through the night, and he was posting all along what was happening. He actually got cut by flying glass.
Wow.
The glass lobby of one of the really five-star hotels down there literally blew up. And he was saying that the lobby now is in the street. So you're looking at extensive damage to that industry. And
bad.
I reflected back 18 years ago, my wife and I were on the island of St. Martin in the Caribbean, and we took one of these direct hits. And it was 18 hours that Ann and I spent pretty much on the floor of our hotel room until the thing blew over.
Wow.
It was really an amazing experience. And the only calm was when the eye went over and the blue sky and the whole thing. Things quieted down for about 20 minutes. Then the backside was just every bit as strong as the front.
Wow, that's amazing.
Anyway, we've got Dr. Garcia. We're going to talk about his candidacy. Vince, you know Dr. Garcia, and this is an there's some really stark contrasts this time around in state office. In the superintendent's race, it's pretty much Diane Douglas, who some have accused of being kind of a one-issue candidate. She wants to do away with the whole Common Core standards, and Dr. Garcia is for the Common Core.
Yeah, I think that's an accurate description, at least based on what I've seen and throughout her whole campaign. A very one-dimensional candidate. And the reality is she's just focused on sort of this political talking point that has been a lot of, you know, provided some red meat, you know, the anti-federal government, what are you doing with local schools, that sort of thing, which really misconstrues what these guidelines are all about and these minimum federal standards to try to make our country more competitive in the job market. Versus Dr. Garcia, an Army veteran, parent, professor, who, to his credit, has been embraced by the business community statewide, the Arizona Chamber of Commerce, locally the Tucson Metro Chamber of Commerce, because they see his work, they see what he stands for, and that he's trying to translate our educational output into college and career-ready students. So you have somebody who has the big, broad-based vision of taking what we have, fixing what needs to be fixed, having minimum standards for what are, they're not even called Common Core standards, which is ironic. Mm-hmm. So we have a candidate who's trying to run on this theme, but really they're Arizona's college and career readiness standards. And yet you have that being pushed by the business community. And I am just so thankful, and I have to give great kudos to the Arizona Chamber of Commerce, the Tucson Metro Chamber of Commerce, and for the first time in their history, the Arizona Hispanic Chamber of Commerce has endorsed a candidate. They've never done that, ever.
Yeah, the local chamber, John, has taken a lot of heat for some of their endorsements this time around. But what about Common Core?
Well, my view of Common Core is I don't mind the federal government at all encouraging things, providing information. I do have a problem with mandates from the federal government. Now, I don't purport to be an expert on Common Core. To the extent that a program is simply the federal government saying, hey, let's try to, each state individually, let's try to set some standards, and the standards are set by the states, I have no problem with that at all. That's where the standards ought to be set. So my view is that we need standards. The state needs to set them. I would not be particularly responsive at all to some standard being set back in Washington, D.C., but I do think we need a standard here. And to the extent that this is encouraging the state to set standards and to talk about standards, I'm for that part. Mm-hmm. I am not for anything that where the federal government comes in and tries to take over our educational process.
Mandatory, you're talking
mandatory
about.
Programs.
You're not for mandatory.
No, I'm not. Not from the federal. I am from the state. I think that's where the that's where the mandates ought to come from, is the state. And I'll be honest with you. It is my understanding that that's the intent of Common Core. Now, to the extent I'm wrong, please forgive me, but I haven't heard any specific mandates from the federal government regarding Common Core.
I think, yeah, that's right. I think John has hit it on the head. I actually agree with what John is saying, mm-hmm. and that's what's the beauty of these standards. At the federal level, they're called Common Core, but they're not from the federal government. Actually, what happened, this is actually a Republican idea, and a lot of really wealthy philanthropists and others, including business community, got together and said, we should have some national minimal standards. And they came up with this, it was a consortium, a private consortium, and the U.S. Department of Education said, hey, that is a really good idea. So if you want to get certain funds, you have to
adopt these private standards. These are privately created standards, but you don't have to. You don't. There's no mandate. They're not enshrined in federal law or regulation, but they are tied to a private consortium that came together to create these standards. And the idea is to increase our competitiveness, to have some way to measure our educational development, but it is left to the states. These are just basic guidelines, yeah. And the states create their own. That's why Arizona has actually created something they call the College and Career Readiness Standards, and these are just minimal. We want to exceed those, in my view.
I do think it's a very slippery slope to have the federal government come in and say, unless your standards meet our requirements, we're not giving you money that other states are getting. Because that is a form of a mandate. I'm not in favor of that. The federal government should butt out of education, in my opinion. I'll be honest with you. I'm one of these people that says, other than some Pell Grants and some free grants from the federal government to students, I think the federal government ought to be out of education.
Would you abolish the Department of Education?
Well, I think...
Would you go that far?
I think the limited things, wow. that the federal government can do, such as Pell Grants, I think those are advantageous for college students. Those are free scholarships for college students. I think those are worthwhile. We don't need the whole machination of the Department of Education to do that. There are some things the federal government can do, but education historically, and I think properly, has been a matter for state control. Mm. I'll tell you the kind of thing I'm concerned about. I was talking to a young guy who graduated in the 70s, very bright guy, and we were talking about Congress and various things, and he said, you know, when I went to school, we didn't have any civics classes. And I thought, you didn't? And he said, no, we were never taught how the legislature worked, how the courts worked.
The three branches of
government. The three branches, and that needs to be fixed across the nation. That's just wrong.
Vince, real quickly before we go to the break.
I agree that the standards do need to be imposed and set locally, and that's what's happening here. The problem, though, John, the issue here, for example, in Arizona, is that the state has imposed unfunded mandates on the school districts. For example, like how they're grade schools. With this court case, for example, that came out that said that the state of Arizona, the legislature, has shortchanged our students for over $1 billion of Prop 301 monies. So right now, a child in fifth grade has gone his entire educational career of those 5 or 6 years in an underfunded classroom, and now we have these requirements that were their grading classes and grading teachers, but they've been underfunded. And the legislature continues to refuse to pay the schools the funds that they need to have. And so I understand what you're saying about the federal government. I understand that perspective. But when you are, on one hand, depriving our children of these funds, over $1 billion, and the legislature and folks like Doug Ducey want to keep fighting that battle when the courts have ruled already multiple rulings, you owe this money to our children. That is not a good thing for our state of education.
Well,
John, hold your thought? We're past the break here. We're going to take the break here. It is the Monday Political Face-Off. John, you'll be up first when we come back right after this on the Buckmaster Show.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman on behalf of 5-Star Termite and Pest Control. You know, the other day I went out on my garage and I saw a cockroach on his back, just the way I like to view a cockroach. And just before he expired, he looked up at me and said, "The 5-Star technician got me." Adios, cucaracha.
We're 5-Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a 4-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Vince Robigo is here, and John Munger. It's our Monday political face-off. We've been discussing Common Core, and John, you had a thought, and I had to kind of cut you off because we were running a little late with our first break, because we do want our listeners to support, of course, our advertisers. But we are back.
So. Well, sure. And you know, it's let's celebrate the fact that I had a thought. That's a very good thing. No, Vince's last comment was, I was talking about keeping the federal government out of state education. Vince came back, and I understand Vince's point of view, that he's not convinced that the state legislature is giving enough money to the school districts. That's got nothing to do with the federal government. That's a state issue. And that doesn't justify having the federal government come in and start issuing mandates. And I'm going to use this in the extreme, because this is not what's happening. It's taking over state education. I mean, Vince, I understand Vince's point of view, that he's not happy with how some of the poor school districts are being funded by the legislature. But that's purely a state issue. And that doesn't justify having the federal government issue any mandates.
No, I agree with John. I agree. But they are different issues. The only reason I mentioned that, John, was because you mentioned the word unfunded mandate. And so schools get funded by state funds, and then they also get funds that come from the federal government to the state, which then the state doles out. So it's part of an overall equation. And that's why I mentioned the other half.
Yeah, okay.
We were talking about campaign signs during the break. And, John, you brought up something, the kind of the one word we're seeing for Felicia and for the Attorney General candidate Felicia Rotellini, and you saw the one word Fred for Fred Duvall, and you were saying, that could be a mistake for the Democrats.
I think it's a huge mistake. They got it from the fact that when Janet Napolitano ran the second time, when everybody knew her name, their sign said, "I'm for Janet." I get it, and she won. They're now trying to do it again. I'm for Fred. Mm-hmm. I'm for Felicia. The problem that I think the mistake they're making is that signs and posters and bumper stickers are name ID. They are to familiarize people with your name ID of the candidate when they go to the polls. They don't convey any information. They just provide a name.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem I think that the campaigners for the Democrats have had or having or are going to find is that they are not familiarizing the names of their candidates that are going to be on the ballot. People are going to look on the ballot and say, "I've never seen the name Duvall," or "I've never seen the name Rotellini," as in Felicia Rotellini.
Because you're contending that when people do look at the ballot, they would look at the last name first.
Well, they're going to look at the last name, and I think that you're not. If I were the Democrats, I would not be doing that. I would be putting on the bumper stickers Duvall, Rotellini, and so that when people go into the polls, and let's face it, people do this, and they say, "Well, I've seen that name before," or in this case, "I haven't seen that name before."
Well, you know, I don't know. I haven't looked at any studies to see if that's accurate or not, or if there's going to be an issue. But what I do know, for example, is that at these two races, these two ones we're talking about, Fred Duvall and Felicia Rotellini, have amassed massive war chests. And Felicia is already up on TV. Fred is on TV. And I mean by that, Fred Duvall and Felicia Rotellini. So people are seeing their names, hearing their names. They're not just hearing Fred on the TV ads. They're hearing Fred Duvall. They're hearing, and they're also hearing from the attack ads.
So you're kind of saying it's like an enhancement. The signs are pass.
Yeah, and you also have, like, let's say, for example, Felicia Rodellini's race. She's a female candidate going against a male candidate. I think that's an easy one. I don't think that's going to impact her on the Fred Duvall versus Doug Ducey. You're seeing a lot of TV because he is running a well-funded campaign that is, as polls just were released this weekend, I think there's been three polls that have found him neck and neck. So I don't think it's going to come down to that, but I don't know. I don't know if there's any
studies. It's just an interesting political science question. It's not the way I would be running the name ID type portion of my campaign.
Well, the last aspect on this, the other part of this is a different kind of race than you would run in a presidential during a presidential primary race during those sorts of election years. This is going to be much more about both sides getting out their base voters and then trying to capture the independent. So this is going to be a get out the vote type election, I think. So I don't know.
And Fred really has to get that independent vote. Rob had a column week or so back in the Republic saying he would have to get – Fred has to get a large percentage of independents to win this thing.
Well, and I think that's true, but I think if the polls are accurate – and polls are just a snapshot.
Okay.
So they're just like what are voters thinking about today? I think he's getting it if it's neck and neck right now.
Well, it depends to what the polls are.
Sure.
I mean, are they likely voters? Are they people out of the phone book? 50% of whom won't vote. what do you got? And so I'd like to look at the polls. A lot of people don't realize, and for your listeners, there are all kinds of different polls. The best are the likely voter polls. And then you have to look at, well, what percentage of the population are being polled? Are they being polled by their registration so that you have the right percentage of Republicans being polled, the right percentage of Democrats being polled, the right percentage of independents. And, that's not always the way the pollsters do it on a quick and dirty poll.
Well, and to add on to this, though, you're going to see a lot of, for example, we're talking about David Garcia being endorsed by all these business chambers and organizations. That's going to trickle down to their membership.
That's true.
That's going to help him. David Garcia, I think, it's tremendously. At the same level, I wonder how much, for example, you have Terry Goddard fighting dark money.
Right.
And that is a very, very popular issue across the political spectrum. People don't like unregulated secret donors advertising in campaigns, whether they're Democratic or Republican.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, Terry Goddard has, I think he's running a very smart campaign going after this, and he's going to try to go to the legislature, and if they don't do it, he's going to go for an initiative to try to get rid of dark money. I think it's, I think on both sides of the aisle, we don't need to have that kind of dark, unregulated secret donors abusing our nonprofits.
I happen to be in favor of full transparency of all donations, whether they're whoever they're to. I think the public has a right to know.
I applaud you for that, John.
But you're not going to applaud me. I think Terry Goddard is getting a little long at the tooth, and I think he's going to get crushed on the in the election. But we'll see.
Okay. We had Terry on the program last week, and we'll have his opponent in the coming weeks. But the poll that I did see, I think, was released by Terry's side, had him up 12, 13 points, something like that.
That's right. It was like, you know, 47 to 31. It was a big
but
lead.
But, again, we are talking polls. So,
and they are early, but it's a good sign.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. I hope you both have a great week.
Good to see you both.
Thanks a lot. The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. We will be having as many of the candidates on the program. We've got about, I think, three dozen that Rose and I are putting together interviews for, and one of them's coming up after the break. David Garcia, Superintendent of Public Instruction, hopeful on the Democratic side. We'll be right back.
Here in Tucson, we love our beautiful mountain views.
But large windows and sliding glass doors are huge energy zappers.
At American Openings, we build our doors just like our energy-saving windows to keep the heat where it belongs, on the outside. No matter the style, American Openings will create your doors right here in Tucson at a fraction of our competitors' costs. And although the price is less, our quality is excellent. Call today and enjoy our beautiful views year-round without losing your cool.
Call 664-1202 or visit AmericanOpenings.com.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. From cooking, cleaning, bathing, and drinking, the benefits of a Culligan system are obvious. You'll use less soap, shampoo, and detergent. Your appliances will last longer, your clothes will last longer, and stay brighter, too. All of this saves you money and adds to the quality of life. Not to mention softer skin and softer hair the whole family will enjoy. Culligan has been in Tucson since 1946, and we have seen about every water concern imaginable. We continue to stay on top of the newest state-of-the-art technology to deliver the refreshing, clean, and high-quality water that's become the Culligan hallmark of excellence. Try a Culligan water treatment system for $9.95 per month for the first 3 months' rental on an annual rental agreement. Schedule your free water test, and don't forget to ask about the Culligan high-efficiency water softener. Call 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's V-S-C-O-T.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Before we get on with our interview with Dr. Garcia, candidate for Superintendent of Public Instruction, big event tonight at the Tucson Jewish Community Center. Rabbi Joseph Telushkin is presenting Rebbe, the Life and Teachings of Menachem Shirnenson, the most influential rabbi in modern history. That's a big event tonight at the Tucson Jewish Community Center. It gets underway at 7 o'clock. Tonight. Let's welcome now Dr. David Garcia, Democrat for Arizona Superintendent of Public Instruction. Dr. Garcia is a native Arizonan, a product of Arizona Public Schools. He's now Associate Professor in the Mary Lou Fulton Teachers College at Arizona State University. Dr. Garcia, how are you?
Well, I'm doing beautifully. Thank you very much for having me on today.
Well, there's a lot of confusion about Common Core, and your opponent, Diane Douglas, has been accused as being kind of a one-issue candidate who is very much against and wanting to kill Common Core academic standards. What should we do about Common Core, Dr. Garcia?
Well, I think that to start off with, I think it's just it's really unfortunate the scare tactics on behalf of my opponent scaring the public and parents into what Common Core isn't. You know what it is, and what we are striving for in Arizona is meeting high academic standards. We've had standards in Arizona for over 20 years, and the current set of standards are an extension of making sure that we continue to update. What students should know and be able to do at the end of each grade level, because the world is moving quicker and went faster, and students need to know and be able to do is changing. And so I stand with the standards, or I'm in favor of them, because students need to be nationally competitive, and our state needs to be nationally competitive, and it's the reason why our business community has jumped on board with this campaign as well, because they understand the importance of making sure our schools and our students are just that, nationally competitive.
Caller Jim gave a call to the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. Jim asked, what is right and what is wrong with Common Core, and what do you see, Dr. Garcia, as the responsibility of the superintendent to Common Core?
Well, I think what is right is that they're higher academic standards. What's right is they continue to move Arizona forward. But we in this state cannot allow them to become our state agenda. I was a peer consultant for the U.S. Department of Education for a little while. Basically, means I helped out states become compliant and understand their policy issues related to Under No Child Left Behind. I didn't work for the U.S. Department of Education, but I was kind of contracted by them. And what I learned, there were a couple different kinds of states. States that didn't have a local agenda on the federal agenda became the state agenda because there was a vacuum. And states that had a clear direction in where they were going, they did a nice job sitting in the directions of the federal requirements along with their path. And that's what I want for Arizona. I want us to determine where we're going as a state, and then fit the federal requirements into our directions that are best for Arizona.
So the wrong part would be that you don't like the mandatory aspect of it, or?
I don't think this is not about the mandatory aspect. You've got to remember that about 16% of our money comes from the federal government, 1/6. The remaining 84% comes from either state or local funding sources. And to the extent that those local and state funding sources put us on a different path in Arizona, we need to respect that on behalf of our voters and our taxpayers here in Arizona. And so in that respect, we need to figure out where we're going as a state, continue to move forward, and I'm confident we can fit in the federal requirements in our direction forward.
Dr. David Garcia is with us. Dr. Garcia, the Democrat candidate for Arizona Superintendent of Public Instruction. Lots of people want to talk with you, Dr. Garcia, so we'll try to work in as many questions as possible. Roger is up first. Go ahead, Roger.
Yeah, when you're looking at the funding for the schools, though, I heard mentioned that the state stole $1 billion from the classroom. Mm-hmm. And out of that billion, you got to remember, only 48 cents out of the dollar actually goes to the classroom. The other 52% doesn't even reach the classroom. So only $480 million of that would have went to the classroom. And couldn't we fix a lot of these problems, like clearing up the bureaucracy and stuff, and at least getting 70 cents out of the dollar to the classroom?
Okay. Thank you, Roger. Go ahead, Dr. Garcia.
I think we need to continue to focus on making sure that those resources get to where they're needed most, and that is the classroom. The latest Auditor General's report actually has the amount of dollars going to the classroom in the low 50s, I can't remember, 52-56%. Now, we got to also remember that money that supports the classroom is very important as well. Instructional support, academic support, very important for counselors, academic professionals, tutors, and others that help specialists, learning specialists, who also support the classroom as well. About 10% of our dollars on average go to administrative costs. That's something that I know that the public is very conscious about, because they want, just like I want, they want as much money as possible going directly to helping out students. And it is one where we need to continue to make sure that, A, we monitor it, and B, we continue to ask and push our traditional public schools and our charter schools to maximize the amount of money they spend at the classroom level.
Arizona schools and 19 other states got a D. The report card came out today for their overall academic achievement by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Foundation. So certainly there's a lot of work to be done, correct?
There's a lot of work to be done, and I'm really glad that you mentioned that. And I mentioned that because I know you started off with Common Core, and that is the issue my opponent is talking about. The reality is we have so many other issues to address in Arizona. We also scored poorly on the outcomes on our achievement gap in that report as well. And those issues have nothing to do with the Common Core. Arizona's challenge is to make sure that our students are prepared, making sure that we focus on resources to help close achievement gaps so that all students in Arizona have opportunities to be successful, are really what our day-to-day issues are in our schools and in our communities. It is unrelated to the Common Core. They were here before, will continue to be a challenge for Arizona. And one in which I think that I am in a much more qualified position to help our state and lead our state through those issues.
So you think that a lot of these issues are being should be talked about in this debate rather than just sort of focusing on Common Core?
Oh, I think they absolutely should be talked about. This is the discussion in Arizona. The discussion is looking at our outcomes. Are students internationally competitive? Are we providing an opportunity for all of Arizona students to be successful? As I talk to parents, other than what they hear quickly on the radio, their interest isn't in Common Core. Their interest is in things like teacher retention, for example, how to address the achievement gap in Arizona. What are we doing about dropout rates and about disengaged youth in this state? And from the business perspective, the question we get over and over again is, how are we preparing a qualified workforce so that here in Arizona, to help our state? Those are the questions that are on the minds of the folks that I speak to with regard to the condition of our education, and it isn't a partisan issue.
What about
these are issues that folks, they want their public schools to work.
How about your own experience? In a nutshell, does your experience lend itself to the top school job in the state?
How does my experience? Absolutely. I should tell you, I was in the office next door. I was associate superintendent for the state of Arizona. What that means for your listeners is I know exactly what I'm getting into, and I know exactly how to get started. I also worked at the state legislature as well for a while, and I'm an educator. I teach teachers. My students are academic and education leaders throughout the state. I know what it's like to be in the classroom. I'm a public school parent. I have two daughters that attend public schools. I also come with leadership credentials as a as an Army veteran, an infantryman out of high school. And I think one that's also important for folks to understand is I'm the first in my family to go to college. And many, many, many of our students are exactly like me. They're out there trying to do new things, trying to blaze some new trails for their families. And I not only understand, I've lived their story.
Okay, we're going to wrap it up with David Garcia. How about your website for folks that would like more information?
Folks can jump on board at DG, my initials, DG4AZ.com. I'm also, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter as well. And folks should know you are joining literally thousands of other folks who are helping us out on this campaign from all over the state so that we can win this and get to work reinvesting in our public schools. It's a missing component of our public discussion and one that, we'll think about it optimistically. When I win, we're going to get to work reinvesting in our schools for all of Arizona.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much for being with us.
Hey, folks, take care.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Get Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 per month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get your first month free. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 1/4/15. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Everyone is invited to tour Veterinary Specialty Center Tucson during its all-day 10th anniversary celebration Saturday, October 4th. There will be something for everyone, including live action in the surgery department and doctor dress-up for the kids. Plus, your tour pass doubles as a raffle ticket with a chance to win great prizes. Veterinary Specialty Center Tucson at North La Cañada Drive and West River Road, home of Specialty Vets for Special Pets.
Tucson Desert Art Museum. Tucson's newest art museum is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerverde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the show brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, where there's something going on just about every weekend. Coming up, the 10th annual Gila River Festival. Come and celebrate the United States' first wilderness river. That is coming up September 18th through the 21st. Lots of great places to stay and things to do. Only 3 hours east of Tucson to Silver City. Places like Gila Hot Springs Ranch and Casitas de Gila Guest Houses. And you can find out, again, about all the places to stay and things to do by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. Take a trip over to Silver City. We send a lot of our Buckmaster Show listeners over there, and everybody has a good time and finds it a very wonderful experience. 6,000 feet elevation always makes for mild nights and cool evenings this time of year. Mark Sykes is with us. Mark is the CEO and director of the Planetary Science Institute, celebrating more than 40 years now as a Tucson-based nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. He's the former chair of NASA's Small Bodies Assessment Group. Mark, how are you?
Great to be here.
Speaking of NASA and space, you were testifying last week before a House subcommittee on space, and what was the consensus of how that went?
Well, there's that. I thought it went very well. Yeah. You know, it's clear that our solar system exploration program needs more money after the budget cuts from a few years ago. But we had some good discussions about the asteroid rendezvous mission and problems with that, and some legislation that they're considering. It was my first time testifying before Congress, so it was a very interesting experience.
And you spoke about funding for NASA missions. You were very candid in your assessment, and to put it mildly, and some of the problems with the planetary budget overall. And what was the reaction from the congressional members?
Well, it was kind of amusing. Dayton Rohrabacher noted my apologizing about being a little negative at the onset of some of my remarks, and he went on for several minutes about how refreshing it was to hear some truth before the committee. So I didn't really say anything about that, but a lot of the several congresspeople came up to me afterwards and were in total agreement with things I'd said, and so it was a very friendly forum.
What was your bottom line as far as funding for NASA missions?
Well, I thought that that actually we need to change the way we fund planetary and create a baseline program of the competed missions, competed research programs, well predictable budget items, and then separately have a line for flagships, which are much more challenging, much more expensive, much more volatility, and in that way you can help kind of protect some of the baseline missions like Discovery, New Frontiers. OSIRIS-REx at the U of A is an example of a New Frontiers mission, which is cost-capped.
So you're saying that there should be the bottom line, the missions that we definitely are all on board for, and then there are the kind of the special, kind of the marquee missions should
right.
be in a different category.
Yeah. If we have the resources to pursue them, then absolutely let's pursue them. But also let's track them separately so that they don't gobble up everything else.
For the first time, we will have a mission that will be landing, I guess you could call it a soft land, first time a soft landing on a comet. It's the Rosetta Comet mission. And just this morning, an announcement was made about where that mission will be landing on the comet.
Yes, and our people are actually helping them with that because they're building the shape models of the comet so that they use for their trajectory planning, nav planning, and it's going to be landing at one end of the comet. It's a very bizarre looking object. It's got steep cliffs in the middle at a very narrow neck between two lobes and very scalloped surface. It's unlike anything we've seen before, and so they're trying to pick a safe spot where hopefully bad things won't happen to it when the comet turns on. And right now it's a little beyond the snow line at 3 AU, three times the distance of the Earth from the sun. Once it comes within that line, then water starts evaporating very rapidly, and you start seeing the tail and the jets and things like that. They don't want to put the lander down on top of what might be a jet.
Yeah, that would
be a bad day.
Bad day. So this mission, that comet is currently located somewhere between Mars and Jupiter.
Yeah.
And this is pretty exciting stuff because we're going to learn, close and personal, right?
Yeah, we're going to see a comet turn on in a level of detail that we've never seen before. It's going to tell us an awful lot about its interior. It's going to tell us a lot about how it works. And so that's going to be very exciting.
How large is this object?
It's only about 3.5 kilometers in length, maybe a kilometer, a couple kilometers in width.
And it is made of what kind of material?
It's made of rock and ice, and about 50-50 by volume. The rock is kind of dark carbonaceous, crumbly type stuff, and then the ice is primarily water ice, but also with carbon dioxide, dry ice, and carbon monoxide ice, and other materials mixed in with it.
Well, you must be pretty excited about it because comets are one of your specialties.
In fact, this particular comet, Churyumov-Gerasimenko, was one of the comets that I first that I saw back 30 years ago that had a little trail on it, and so I was seeing using this infrared satellite what looked like a contrail in the sky that is from the birdshot size, marble-sized particles coming off from it. It's really dark, so you don't see it when you look at it with your eye, but when you look at it at thermal infrared, it's a very different looking sky, and comets look very different. And so this is one of the guys that I've been thinking about for the last 30 years, and so it's really wonderful to see it up close and personal.
And again, the role of Planetary Science Institute in this mission.
We are contracted with the Max Planck Institute to create a detailed model of its shape, to take this odd-looking object and to come up with a mathematical model of it so that we can put that into the computer, and then they can use that for planning how they're going to drop the lander where on its surface. And now they have the where.
Mark Sykes with us, head of the Planetary Science Institute, and this is an economic driver in our community, the Planetary Science Institute, with probably more PhDs under one roof than anywhere I can think of. I mean, there are a lot of them, and you guys are doing great work because you've part of the appeal, and I think you recently won an award, PSI, for allowing scientists, kind of a workplace environment. It is a unique workplace environment.
Yeah, we're very flexible. Yeah. We're very efficient. And in fact, we were in those categories, we were ranked 20th in the nation over American corporations. Mm-hmm. And so that was so we won this When Work Works award thing, but then we got more detailed information that gave us at the 20th place in the country, which is pretty amazing.
It is. And of course, one of the appeals is that you have definitely scientists can work really off-site. They don't have to be on your headquarters over there, physically at the headquarters.
We're kind of a mix of your traditional bricks and mortar. We got three buildings up on Fort Lowell and Campbell, and then we've got scientists in 51 congressional districts in 22 states around the country in about 8 countries. So they're all, but we're always talking to each other. We get together once a year here in Tucson for annual retreat, and it's a very almost like a familial type of a place.
NASA has the NASA Curiosity, the rover, about to conduct some real serious scientific drilling on Mars. That's coming up, right?
Yeah, they finally made it to the bottom of Mount Sharp, and they're going to start their ascent, but they're they've had to find a different path to go because the original path that they were on had a bunch of rocks they didn't notice before, and they're worried about their wheels getting chewed up.
No toll road. To...
No, no lift, you know, yes. up the side of the mountain.
Okay, so. Mark Sykes, where can people find out more about the Planetary Science Institute? And you do accept memberships, of which I am a member and happy to be one.
Yeah, so you go to
Let's see if I can get it. PSI.edu.
Bingo.
Yeah, you have the EDU designation there. Okay, Mark, thank you very much. We'll look forward to seeing you in October as we get closer to that big day for the Rosetta Comet mission. Thanks.
Yes.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is supplied by Culligan Better Water Pure and Simple. Culligan for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. Thank you, Culligan. All of our in-studio guests enjoy a nice, cool, chilled bottle of Culligan water. We have more talk coming up here on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, for Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw. That is coming up this afternoon. Then the Wake Up Tucson show with Chris and Joe. And then the Daily Double, that's Chris DeSimone with a guest host every day from 8 to 9. And then Rosemary Brandt, producer, me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you at 12:04 tomorrow for our Tuesday edition of The Buckmaster Show. Until then, have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at kvoi.com.